Ladies, I wonder, are you one of those that in the midst of your kitchen, baking, cooking, you run out of something and you run next door to borrow? You are a borrower. And you know the story of the axe head that fell into the water, and the cry went up, alas, for it was borrowed. And you have to admit that the things you borrow are the things that cause you the most trouble in life. There's something going to break, something going to give you heartache. It'll be the thing that's not your own. You've borrowed it elsewhere. And of course the problem is, how do you get it back again and save face? Well, today is Mother's Day, and I want to preach to the ladies of our congregation. And I know that ladies have special needs and deserve a special word and a special message. The title to today's message is Giving Back Borrowed Fears. We're coming to this text in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And yes, there are fears which women fret over, and yet they do not rightfully belong to you. And you're stealing them to your own hurt. You will note in this text that God has not given you the spirit of fear. Wherever this has come from doesn't belong to you. You have borrowed it, you have assumed it, you are carrying it wrongfully. Nevertheless, we know that this is a lady's tendency. There's many a husband that says, I don't need to worry because my wife does enough worrying for both of us. And that just seems to be that constitution, the way that we're created. Much of my thinking for this message has come about from a book on the wife of Jonathan Edwards. I was putting away some books from my cluttered desk, trying to find some space, and I just happed upon this particular book that was sitting in my shelves for a long while. And the title of the book is Married to a Difficult Man. Now, I'm sure that there's just about every wife that'd like to sign on to that one from time to time. And you probably could write your own book on what life is like married to a difficult man. But as I picked up that book and I opened it up somewhere in the middle and got digging into it, it seemed it was providential. It was the Lord's leading. As I was really flummoxed about what I was going to preach to ladies in our congregation. And here it was, staring me in the face. And I got into the life and some of the issues in the heart of Sarah Edwards. She was the wife of the New England preacher Jonathan Edwards. And she had a very difficult life. Until the Lord did a transforming work in her life and just turned her around 180, and she became a new woman. And those things that were defeating her, those things that were plaguing her, she was really able to overcome. Now, I say this today because I'm really not going to expound this passage, 2 Timothy 1:7, which is my normal style, and of course what a preacher ought to be doing is to be expounding the scriptures. But I'm going to take up today some practical lessons from the life and the testimony of this lady, Sarah Edwards. And I want to draw these lessons because God brought her through these deep valley of tears and fears into the sunshine of acceptance and approval. And that word approval, I want you to underline it in your mind because it's going to be the key issue here. And it's something that everybody to some degree or other really wrestles with. And perhaps ladies more than others. Approval. But there are those fears that you borrow. They don't belong to you. And you're holding on to them. And it's time to give them back. That's what I want us to look at today. Firstly, give back the borrowed worry about God's approval. Before we get to the meat of this, I want to let you into a little issue in the life of Sarah Edwards. There was a night that she spent totally sleepless, worrying, what if my house was burnt to the ground? And the whole night she tossed and turned and worried and fretted about the consequences and the realities of what if my house was burned to the ground. It never happened. Now, in those days, of course, they were wooden structures, somewhat more primitive than what we might be used to. It was in an area that would be close to woods and perhaps prone to wildfires. There would have been no fire service in the area, and there was people who lost their homes. And so to Sarah, this became her obsession. And this night she worried and fretted that she never slept a wink. That was wrong, because it never ever happened to her in her lifetime. But behind that worry, there was something far deeper in her soul. Sarah Edwards struggled with personal assurance of God's love and salvation. She lived in fear that she did not have God's approval. And in spite of the fact that her husband was a preacher of very sound doctrine, he was a man that God was using, there were people converted all around them, there was within her own heart this personal fear that she did not have God's approval. And so it was manifested in this way that she feared her house would be burned down, that this would be God's punishment upon her. And later through that crisis, God brought her into the full, sweet enjoyment of His grace. And she said, after this transformation in her life, that I'll tell you more of later, she said that she could sing her way through life. The burden was lifted. These fears that were plaguing her were gone. And so the basis of a sweet and blessed life for a Christian woman is to give back worry over God's approval. Now, to know God's approval, you need to know the gospel. You need to know that the Lord is your Savior. You need to know that you have applied to your life the blood, the righteousness, the mercy of the Lord. And you need to focus on that and enjoy it to the full. And I almost feel the need right now to preach to you Romans chapter 5. Just we have peace with God through faith, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that we are accepted in the Beloved. We have this imputed righteousness to our account. That is the glory of the gospel that we must fill our hearts and fill our minds with. Now, you need that today. And you need to dwell on that, and you need to be assured of that, and you need to enjoy that with all your heart. And if the account of your sin has been settled, the blood has been applied, just as on the night of the Passover, whenever the angel of death came into Egypt, God promised that when I see the blood they put on the doorposts, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Those in those homes could sleep in peace while they knew the angel of death was visiting the land. Now, that's the peace that the Christian has. That's the peace that the Lord gives to His people. And it's not something that you do. You can't earn God's approval. You can't work up God's approval. It's not what you have done this week. It's not your set of accomplishments in life. It is because your faith is in God's Son. That's the basis on which you are approved. And if the account of your sin is settled, you have peace with God, then give back the borrowed worry of God's approval. Give it back. Don't carry it. Don't allow it to burden you. Don't give the devil, the enemy of your soul, the advantage. And carry a load that the Lord has already carried for you. That becomes unbelief. It grieves the Lord. And of course it robs you of the enjoyment of the Christian life. The second thing now, the second thing to give back is borrowed worry about your husband's approval without due cause. In the chapter of the book, this book called Married to a Difficult Man, the chapter called To the Breaking Point and Back, where Sarah Edwards went through this life-changing struggle, she was crushed by this inner need to be approved by her husband. Many things were crowding in upon her at that time. Weariness of body. Another baby had been just born. There was a feud over a past friend that had resurfaced. Her husband's travel schedule took him away from home far more than Sarah ever liked. And it really troubled her that he was gone from home again. And during that absence, she crashed. She tried, as many Puritan women at that time did, to put on a good facade that everything was well. But inside there was such a turmoil of heart that she, what many called, a nervous breakdown. She just fell apart. Now, one of the issues that was burdening her was her burden about her husband's approval. But she need not have worried. Jonathan Edwards was a good and faithful husband. He lapped up his wife's care because his own physical constitution was not nearly as strong as hers. He was one who suffered from headaches and other ailments. And he enjoyed the care and the comfort that she gave to him in those times. He was too bookish to be a socialite, and so he spent most of his hours in the home study. But Sarah was prone to worry about her husband's approval of her. And men, we have to realize that this is an issue. Human nature has not changed. Women always feel the need to be approved of their husbands. That's the way God has created couples. That's the way God has intended it. He said that her desire shall be toward her husband. And we're not to have our wives living in fear. We are not to give any reason, any grounds, that they may lack assurance of our love. And they are to know at all times that they are secure and safe in our marriages. In Ephesians 5:23, the commandment is, if you remember what we looked at very quickly last Sunday, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Husbands should never take the attitude, "Well, I love you, dear, and if that ever changes, I'll let you know." That's not the way to build assurance and build that approval into the heart of his wife. But wives, on the other hand, you give the devil the advantage by worrying, often needlessly, about your husband's approval. Some women battle this more than others. Some are Marthas, others are Marys. When the Lord Jesus entered into the home of Martha and Mary, Martha felt that she had to earn the Savior's approval. She was busy about domestic things, cumbered with many things, while Mary could sit at the Savior's feet and enjoy every word and enjoy the company of the Savior. And some wives tend to live in a kind of denial, and this is what was going on in Sarah Edwards' life. She admitted it. She confessed that this was an awful burden to her, and she was building herself up to the breaking point, feeling that she had lost or not sufficiently earned the approval of her husband. And of course, harboring this fear leads to tension, and it becomes circular and damaging, and it hinders that normal relationship and that enjoyment of one another's company and one another's friendship. Whereas it is so often, a borrowed fear has no reality, and it has to be given back, has to be given up. Where there is no grounds for it, we're to give it back. I want you to notice, if I may bring you here to 2 Timothy 1:7, I want you to notice that the opposite to the spirit of fear, and this is how the Apostle Paul puts it here as he writes to Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, and the opposite to that, the proper reception of grace is this, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And the meaning has to be that if you live in fear, you rob yourself of power, you rob yourself of love, and of a sound mind. That's exactly what happened to Sarah Edwards. She had built up her inner fears to such a pitch, both on the spiritual level with her desiring approval of God and approval of her husband and the issues that were going on in her life, and she was living in such a spirit of fear that she lost spiritual power. She was no longer living in the enjoyment either of the Lord's love nor her husband's love, and of course she could not maintain a sound mind. And so these things have to be given back. Alas, for it was borrowed. So, ladies, I appeal to you today, on the terms of God's word here, I'll take it out of the context of Sarah Edwards' particular personal difficulties, and I'll take you to the word of God, and I'll ask you to bring your tendencies, your inclination to live on your fears, to come to live in the power and enjoy the love and the sound mind that the Lord gives to His people. Thirdly, give back borrowed worry about public approval that is outside your control. This spirit of fear will freeze your public confidence. Sarah Edwards lived in much fear of what people thought of her and what they were saying about her and her family. She was from the relatively distinguished city of New Haven. She was an educated lady, a cultured lady. She was living as the wife of a minister in a congregational church. And she sought to raise her children in an orderly and civilized manner in an area called Northampton, Connecticut. At that time, it was really the backwoods. And the people in the locality and the people in that community didn't understand culture, didn't understand too much about living in the finer things of life. Most people considered refinement and education to be foreign and to be needless. And the only way that a person could show that they were a hard worker was to show the welts on their hands if they were farmers pulling up stumps and cutting down trees and making a living off the land. And so the life of Sarah Edwards and her family was very much misunderstood in her local community. She was talked about, and she knew it. And when she saw people visiting for the afternoon, going with knitting bag and spending hours together, she lived in fear of what they were talking about. She lived in fear of what they might be saying about her and her family and her children. And when people were huddled together and went into a hush as she walked by, she was overly conscious that they were most likely talking about her. And she was in great danger of allowing this to get her down and to become demented. Now, so much of this, of course, was unnecessary. There was the difference of her understanding of standard and style of life and dress and fashion and culture to the people around her. But so what? When her husband talked to her, he made her understand that life's bigger than this little community. And he made her to see the bigger world and the bigger puzzle of life. But all of these things would at times eat her up. The Bible is clear to us on how we should handle these situations. And I'm saying these things and I'm drawing these scenes from the life of Sarah Edwards because it is an experiment, it is an examination of human nature. Maybe you live with these fears, people talking about you. Are you approved by others? And maybe that really gets you down. How should you handle this as a Christian? Well, let me take you to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22. And the opening chapters of the opening verses of that book. The book of Psalms, then Proverbs, chapter 22, and verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Now, it is not wrong to desire a good name. Let's face that. It is right, as a Christian, to desire a good name. It's a part of your testimony. It's a part of who you are. It's a part of your image of Christ. It is a part of your Christian witness, a good name. And it's important that you maintain a good name. It's rather to be chosen than great riches. In other words, it's times it may cost you, and it's better to pay the sacrifice and guard your name. And loving favor rather than silver and gold. So, people want to be loved, they want to be favored. That's all natural and normal. The rich and poor meet together, the Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it. Now that's a well-known verse, isn't it? And I'm sure the young people of our congregation have had that one rehearsed to them. Train up a child in the way he should go. But what about training our own souls how to deal with public opinion? I think verse 4 is key. By humility and the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the antidote to the fear of men. What men think or say. And if the fear of the Lord is the thing that is paramount and most important, it is the goal of our lives and the focus of our walk, then what men think or say is very secondary. Now, of course, we are conscious and we can't run away from the reality of what people might think or say. What are we to do? Well, verse 4 says, by humility. The one thing that you never do is start defending your own name. Can't do that. The moment that you start defending your own name, you magnify everything. You spoil your name. It's like trying to sit down and prove to somebody how humble you are. You ever try that one? Doesn't work. It's counterproductive. You try to tell someone you're really, really humble. You're really only confessing you're not one bit humble at all. And if you try to defend your own name, all you're saying is that you're very proud. And most likely, overly proud. So the thing that you're not to do is to start defending your own name. And that's why Sarah Edwards, and I'm sure many other women in those Puritan times in New England, felt like they were all bottled in. And their emotions and their feelings were all bottled up. And they couldn't express, they couldn't say anything, they couldn't do anything about how they felt. And all of this became an issue. But we have to realize only the Lord can guard our testimony. Only the Lord can defend our name. Only the Lord can keep back any ill talk, ill thoughts, any ill deeds against us. We have to depend on Him. And that's the spiritual attitude. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. And I'm depending, and I'm deciding to please Him anyway. I'm accountable to the Lord, and it will not matter in the eternal day. And by living in the fear of the Lord, you relieve yourself of the worry of what men think or say. And the Christian has to die to public opinion. Now, for ladies, that's much more difficult than men. Much more difficult than men. To die to what men or other women think or say is not so easy. But it is Christian. It is part of bearing the cross. It is part of the victory that you can know as you seek to live the Christian life, whether it's in your home, community, church, Christian service. What men think or say is important, but it ought not to burden and drive us to worry. And so I pray that you will be able to give back borrowed worry about public approval. The fourth lesson we want to draw from Sir Edwards today is to give back borrowed worry about resentment in this world. When Sir Edwards went through that spiritual struggle to come through victorious, there was a marked difference in her life. She was still the dutiful wife of a dozen children, needy children, with all the hard work in those days, no washing machine, no dryer, no modern appliances, no disposable diapers. There was all the hard work of raising a family. You didn't run to the corner store for those last minute items. You ground your own flour. You did everything from scratch. It was hard work to be a housewife and mother in those days. And in the past, darkness seemed as the anxious martyr ready to die. That's how she lived her life. She had a martyr spirit. And inside was a seething spirit all bottled up. And it was a life of trial and of heavy burdens. But as victor, she portrayed that the greater valor is being willing to live. And before, where there was resentment, there was now a spirit of joy. And that's when she said to her husband, "I could sit and sing this life away." Now that resentment was also borrowed. That outlook on life, where everything was dark and seeming in opposition to her, was not reality. But it was her own unbelief. That statement was also borrowed. It was not real. Oh yes, it was real to a carnal heart. It was real to human nature without grace. But it did not long to a heart that was enjoying grace and God's help and God's power and God's blessing. Now coming back to 2 Timothy 1:4, you'll notice, 1:7, you'll notice here as Paul speaks to Timothy on this, he says to him that he is to continue. 2 Timothy 1:7. Verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." When Paul wrote those words to Timothy, there was an awful lot in the Roman world to resent. Paul was facing execution. He was a prisoner sentenced to death. Timothy, his shy, reserved nature would have opposed controversy and confrontation, and yet he was exhorted here to be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. But he was to do so in a certain way. Not according to his own strength. Not according to his own power. But according to the power of God. Verse 8. And that gospel is not just fitted for apostles. It's not just fitted for evangelists and preachers. It's also fitted for weaker vessels, for housewives, mothers, for ladies in situations with high emotions, heartaches, dealing with family, neighbors, offended friends, family feuds, and all the issues of a maternal heart. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Not in your own strength, not in your own might, but by the power of God. And if you should be a Martha here today, and you are one that's prone to be cumbered about many things, a worrier by nature, then you must give back all those borrowed worries and fears. They do not belong to you. They are marks of the curse when Eve was given a spirit of fear. But God's gift of his Son and the gospel brings you into a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. You might be asking, how do I do that? Here is the testimony of a particular woman who went through a crisis in her life. God met with her. God answered her prayer. God brought her through. She lived for a lengthy period of her life in the power of the gospel. I want to read to you not what her husband said, because when her husband returned and discovered that she had this breakdown, and then she had suddenly been brought to victory in her own soul, in her own life, he just came back as an observer to hear the story. But he was very discreet about what he wrote about it. But her biographer said this: Sarah Edwards stopped straining to please God and began to live in the assurance of salvation. She didn't have to try to deserve. She stopped pushing herself to be worthy of Edwards' love, and from then on had his unreserved admiration. Before, onlookers had considered her a saint, but her husband knew she wasn't. Afterwards, Edward marveled at her constant, sweet peace, calm, and serenity of soul. Now, no doubt, that is our prayer for every mother and every wife and every woman here today. But how do you? How do you come to that enjoyment and that sweet assurance of God's love? I would say this: let go. Let go. Stop trying to earn God's favor. Confess that you're a sinner in need of God's Son, and enjoy Christ. Enjoy the Savior and in all the benefits and blessings that He gives. Concerning the approval of your husband, let go. Enjoy your marriage. Enjoy the love that he assures you. The more you quiz, the more you interrogate, the more strain you create. Enjoy the friendship, the fellowship, and the marriage bonds that are there in place. Unless, of course, there's some ridiculous situation that has arisen. But be assured and confident in your husband's love and assurance. As to the approval of public opinion, live in the fear of God. Let go what men may think or say. And then when it comes to resentment, the fourth lesson we drew, let go. Let go. Those things that in the past troubled your heart, you struggled with, you looked out into the world and you questioned and you quizzed. Let go. God is in control. And you can have God's approval as you trust Him and rest in His grace and the victory of His power. And I pray that as you trust the Lord, repent of those things that you, the worries, the fears that you've borrowed into your life, repent of them. Be done with them. Plead the blood of the Lamb over them. And rest in all that you are and all that you have in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And I pray that God will give you that great sweet victory that was in the life of Sarah Edwards. I recommend the book to you. Very easy title to remember: Marriage to a Difficult Man. How did that ever get into my study?